Eleanor, it looks like it's working in here. Is it working here? Is it working? Okay, I'll shout. Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. Hope you all had a good time during the summer, if there was one. Today we are going to continue with our series on Let's Thank the Lord. And this morning we are looking at thanking the Lord for His grace. As I was preparing this message this week, I was absolutely blown away by the grace of God. And it is my prayer and hope that I speak this morning that we have a sense of God's grace. And there's going to be a fair bit of reading to do. And because I don't read very well, I'm going to split the reading. And it's fairly split. When the verse is long, you read it. And when the verse is short, when the reading is short, I will read it. Okay? Let's go. The last time I spoke here, I spoke on the topic of propitiation. And I touched on three main points that describes our condition as human beings. We are under sin, we are under the law, and we are under the wrath of God. And I finish by describing how Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, turned away the wrath of God so we can come to Him. And one of the points that I did not share or did not touch on was also that we are under grace. If you have become a Christian, the minute you become a Christian, you are under grace. You are no longer under sin, no longer under the wrath of God, but you are under the grace of God. And one of the points that is not very understood by Christian community, and we always try to please God by whatever means, because we never understood that when we become a Christian, we are new creation and under His grace every day. And that is something that we as leaders want our people to know, that you walk around free because of the grace of God. And verses like this, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace. What does that supposed to mean? It doesn't mean that you break the law. The law is irrelevant. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that the way we conduct ourselves is not as demanded by the law, but because we live as free people, pleasing God out of our love and gratitude to His love and grace. Okay? So if you study the New Testament, if you study the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the disciples, you'll find that their whole ministry and their whole message is trying to move the whole way we live and conduct ourselves before God from the world of law to the world of grace. And like I said, it doesn't mean that law is irrelevant, but just means that we do things under a different motivation. You give to the Lord, not because the Bible commands it, but you give to the Lord out of your gratitude. A man was released from prison after serving a long sentence. And in his first day in his village, he decided to visit a church. And he went into the church, sat down quietly and prayed. And when he finished, he looked around and he looked right by the wall where he was sitting was the Ten Commandments. And he thought to himself, wow, that is the last thing I want to be reminded of. The last thing I want to be reminded of my sin. And he closed his eyes and opened his eyes again and looked in there and read the Ten Commandments. But he was overwhelmed that this time they are not commandments, they are promises. Thou shalt not kill. He felt himself, yeah, it's a promise. I'm not going to kill anymore. Thou shalt not steal. And he said, that's not a command, it's a promise. I'm not going to steal. And that's the life of someone who is living under the grace of God. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the grace of God sets us free with the bondage of the law and sin. So what is grace? You probably heard a wonderful message shared last year by Fritz on reconciliation. And I want to start from an illustration to explain grace later. And it goes like this. This is me and Jimmy, okay? We are great friends. We are great friends and lived a very good relationship. But then he did something wrong. He stole my new Toyota and smashed it. And so he did wrong, and we became enemies. We are enemies. He runs around. I'm trying to chase him, to find him, to give me some money to buy another car. He ran away. He continues to run away. So I am the offended. He is the offender. He did wrong. How do you think we can bring ourselves into reconciliation? There are four main steps. If we are to bring back our friendship, there are four steps that needs to be met in order to bring the reconciliation. And it goes like this. The offender, he needs to repent. He is the initiator of the reconciliation because he was the one who stole the car. Okay? He needs to put things right. That means he has to buy a new car to replace my car. And after that, he will come and ask for my forgiveness. And after that, I have to accept his apology. Otherwise, there won't be any reconciliation. Any of these steps, if one of the steps is missing, there will be no reconciliation. And that is the reconciliation between two men. Two men. Now, let's say we compare ourselves to God. God gave us the law, and we broke every bit of it, right? And so we are the one who is doing wrong, and we become enemies of God, according to the Bible. See, in order for us to reconciliate with God, to bring about reconciliation with God, the same steps need to be done. Men need to repent. To repent, men to put things right, and to ask God's forgiveness, and then for God to accept and forgive us. These are the same steps. Now we have a problem, and our problem is like this. We may repent, but we can't really pay and put things right, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. To put things right, you need to die. And what's the point of dying if you are to reconcile. And then that's where we go wrong. So the whole thing is in the mess because you can't do it. Because there's a lot depends on you. And none of those you can't do. You can do. So God's answer our problems. See, I say here, the first thing is for men to repent, to make the initiation. But before that, God initiates the reconciliation. According to the Bible, Romans 5, 6, and 8, I'm going to ask you to read this one. Okay? We all read it. Let's go. Isn't that amazing? We were ignorant in our sins. And God made the initiation because out of his love, he reached out and started the process of reconciliation. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Man, I find it amazing. I was lost in my own sin, running after my own desire. God reached out. The second one, for men to put things right. But instead of us doing that, Christ died for us. And we continue with this these verses here. Romans 5, 9, and 10. Let's read it. Much. We shall be saved by the love of God. For what? Amen. That is amazing. That's amazing verses. If God decided to reconcile with us while we were enemies, were enmity with him, how much more he would save us when we already reconciled? So basically there is reconciliation and then the saved. He puts things right. Because you cannot die for your sins. I can't die for my sins. God treated his son as though he committed all my sins. The one who knew no sins. And then for men to ask forgiveness. Before we ask, God gifted grace and righteousness to us. He already done it. And that is amazing as well. And this is a long reading. You're going to do it. Let's read this. Thank you. Let's read. But the free gift is not life transgression. For the life of transgression of the one needs death. But the gift of God is grace of God. That is so amazing. It's free gift. Free gift of righteousness, of forgiveness, of grace. Man, God done all that for us, for you. I find that so, so amazing. And the topic of our talking today is thank God for his grace. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Man, as I read those verses, I thought, yes! Thank God! It doesn't depend on me, because I can't do it. Let's read some more verses. I'm going to read this one because it's short, okay? For all have sinned, Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. It's actually the same thing. But you see, when we try, you can try to please God, to bring about the glorification of God, I tell you, it's not going to work. We all fall short. And it's quite a big mistake that many Christians think because they have done a lot, God is going to forgive them. You know, without the grace of God, you are doomed. Because if God knew that you can find your way to heaven and find your way back to him, why would he kill his son? And that is an insult. An insult to God. Thank God that we fall short, but because of his grace, he redeemed us. I'm going to read this one. It is a long one. For sin shall not be your master, or shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The verse we read earlier on. So another one here is for you to read. Thank you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let's read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a source of work. Man, you have been saved by grace. You know, the whole Christian life is all about grace. God loves you so much, and I wish I can express it in the other way that it touches your heart. Out of his love, he saved you. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Another final verse, we're going to read it together, Titus 2, 11 and 13. Let's read it, okay? For the grace of God brings salvation. The abundance of God's grace, man. Forgiveness. Righteousness. Hope. All of those are in Christ Jesus. And it's yours, free. Man, that's amazing. So what is grace? Out of all these verses, I tried to define what grace is. If you look up what grace is in dictionary, or it says that it's an unmerited favor. And I did not like that because, like Jeremy, if he didn't steal my car, but I gave him a $20 anyway, that's an unmerited favor. So it doesn't really capture the whole thing of grace, because what God's done, and then while we are trying to be his enemy, he reached out in love. And so the definition of unmerited favor is kind of short. So I came up with this definition. Grace describes God's unconditional love extended to the sinner who does not deserve it, who hasn't earned it, and can never repay it back. Is that a better definition? I also add this. In grace, the offender gets all the benefits, and the offended bears all the cost. Is that adding to the definition of grace? Grace is beyond forgiveness and putting things right. God freely offers you what you need, offers you himself, while you are hostile to him. And these are my definitions. I put them all together to define what grace is. And I hope we get the sense of that in our own lives. Let me quickly go through some observations of God's grace. Grace does not depend on the state of the offender. See, God's grace doesn't look to the world and see who is sinless. And look at Joab, Jamie is really good. He received my grace. And look at me and Kyle, and so you two are out. Grace is not like that. It's freely given to everyone who accepts it. Freely given to you. And I'm grateful to God for it. It doesn't depend how dark. If you think you're so sinful that it's difficult for God to forgive you, I ask you to come to the cross and tell him that. Because he says you cannot sin. You can't over-sin the grace of God. That is not to encourage you to continue to sin, no. But quite often in life, we go on our own way and we get to a point that we feel so bad about ourselves. Some time ago, I told you the story of a young girl in Brazil who grew up and found herself very pretty. So she decided to get out of the house and seek her own pleasure. And the mother went out with a campaign and photos of her everywhere she went. She went on the bus. And the message, put the photograph of the young girl and the message underneath. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, come home. Isn't that the word of our Lord Jesus Christ? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't matter what he's done. God's message for you is to come home. And I don't know all about you. There are many of you, I don't really know your heart. But if you feel you sin too much, if you feel the burden of your sin, darkness of your sin in your heart, the message for you, the message of grace, whatever you have done, whatever you have become, come home. So grace does not depend on the state of the offender. In grace, you don't make any contribution. What have you contributed to the reconciliation process? Was there any negotiation and God says, well, I'm going to give you my son. What have you got? Man, I'm so grateful for that because I don't have anything to offer God. See, when we come before God, we have nothing to offer. One writer of the old hymn wrote this: nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Isn't that our attitude? That before God, we don't have anything. We don't have anything to offer. No contribution. Oops. In grace, you don't have any rights. As I said earlier, one of the biggest mistakes of Christians of our day, because they have done so much, they feel that God owes them something. It's always wrong, because when we stand before God, we just simply appeal to his grace. The story of the prodigal sons is the classic one. The two sons, they are both interested in the father's wealth. And one was really bad. The other one was really good. The really bad one decided to go out and enjoy it. So off he went. And the really good one, he stayed at home and complied with every demand, everything, every law, every bit of the law at home. At the end, the really bad one came and appealed to God, to the Father's grace, and asked for forgiveness. And the good one relied on how much he had done. And he said to the father, I have been here obeying obeying every little things that you wanted. I was obedient. And now listen to me, Father. Everything has got to be done my way. The result? The very bad one who appealed to the Father's grace enjoyed the party. And the good one who relied on his effort stayed outside in the absence of the Father, because the Father was inside in the party. Is that? You know, we cannot come to God and say, God, look at me. I have been a preacher from when I was a teenager. I give my tithing or to whatever. Nothing in my hand I bring. You don't have any right. Thank goodness. Because when you claim you have a right, then we put the whole Christian living all back to the word of the law. Because every right, whenever there is a claim of right, is on the basis of the law, not on the grace. Okay? Grace, you are offered Jesus Christ free. And that is something very important. The whole grace of God is Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive whatever is in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin, everlasting life, hope. A man was received a national commendation in France, and one of great men. And this man here was given the opportunity to give a free pardon to one of the slaves in the galley. You know, that's where the prison, they kept all the criminals. And he decided to, and he was given that privilege of freeing someone, whomever he chose. So he visited the galley and came across this inmate, and he said, you know, I was treated absolutely unfair. What I had done was no comparison to many of the people in the ship. You know, and I was treated so unfairly. And the man passed by and he said, no, this man is too good. It's too good to receive a free pardon. And then he came across the next man and he said, I'm absolutely innocent. What I'm charged of, accused of, was absolutely wrong. I never done it. And the man passed by and he said, this man is innocent. He needs justice. He doesn't need free pardon. And then he came across a man who said, yeah, I am serving a long sentence. A long sentence. And if they knew the extent of my crime, I would have been given the death penalty. I deserve every bit of what I am given. And then the man said, this is the man to whom I give the free pardon, because the only hope for him is the free pardon. And that is grace. You receive Christ absolutely free. What is free these days? These days, what is free? No free lunch, is there? Everlasting is free. You are gifted everlasting free, absolutely free. And I find that so amazing. So God's grace is for everyone. Let me finish by saying this. Do you see your need for grace? Quite often, we who have been in the church for so long, we don't really realize our need for grace. But the reality is we need grace every minute of the day. It's only the grace of God that you breathe his air. It's only the grace of God that we have the ability to work and move about. Do you see your need for grace? In a big church in London, they have many branches in the city, and every now and then, they come together for a combined service. So all the branches, they did community work, where they deal with a lot of people, criminals and all that. And when they come together, they have the communion. That's the only time they have the communion. And the communion is where people come to the front and kneel. And then the minister would dish out the wine and the bread. And that's how they do communion. And this particular day, one guy who just been released from prison came and knelt. And then the minister was doing his duty, and then he noticed that the man coming and knelt beside, exactly beside that criminal, was the judge who actually dealt with him and sent him to prison. And the minister, as you could understand, he was overwhelmed. And he, oh, oh. And he said that, and after the service, he ran after the judge. And he said, "Did you realize the man who was kneeling beside you?" And the man said, "Yes, I know, that's him. What a marvelous act of grace." And the minister said, "Oh, he said so much grace that he can transform his life of criminal." And the man said, No. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about me. You know, people like me, we don't really see our need for grace. I grew up and being treated like a man and being taught how to be a man. I went to Oxford University there, got my law degree, and not long I was given the bar to become a judge. And people like us, very hard to see our need for grace. And I think the New Zealand people are so rich to a point they don't really see their need for grace. You go to Papua New Guinea, it's very easy to teach them because they live in poverty. And their need every day, they cry out to God. Do you see your need for grace? And people like us, it's quite often we are blinded by the privilege we enjoy in this country. It's very hard for us to see our need for grace. And God died for you just as much as he did for the poor. Secondly, draw near to God. I don't know about you, but every day I had to remind myself that I have to draw near to God and appeal to his grace. It's only the grace of God that I can do my work. It's only the grace of God I can stand here and talk to you. Grace is only beneficial to you if you accept it. We're going to spend some time shortly in prayer, because the purpose of the day is to thank God, thank the Lord for his grace. But if you feel you need people to pray with you, as we close our eyes, make your way down here. There are many people here who would love to pray with you. Many people here would love to share the grace of God with you. If you need prayers, Jamie is here, and Andrew and elders here will love to pray with you. Let us read these verses together, please. As I was doing my preparation, I didn't realize that these are the text, and I only put it up in the last because it says to thank God for his grace. Let's read the verses, okay? "For all things are for your sake. Those verses are self-explanatory, aren't they? Let us close our eyes and have a moment of silence in your heart. Thank God for his grace. And if you need any prayer for somebody to pray with you, make your way up. There are people here who would love to pray with you. Let's thank God for his grace. Okay? Oh, Father, we thank you for your grace. Well, we're sinners. We pay no attention to you. But because of your grace, you found us. And we come to you and appeal to your grace, Lord. It's only your grace that we can move and live. It's only your grace that we live according to your law. We can't do it ourselves. We can't follow and keep all your laws. But because of your love and grace, we thank you. And all that you have done through Jesus Christ, we accept that with gratitude and gratefulness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.